New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in. It is Wednesday morning, the 9th of October. Time is flying. It is time for an episode of Broncos for Breakfast. That's what the hat says, right? And I'm Nick Kendall out here in Seattle. That is Scott Kennedy out there in Atlanta. Scott, how you doing? We're here for hour number two. We just spent the last hour talking Falcons versus Panthers. A little bit more of an intriguing matchup out there on the West Coast, or I guess the Mountain, not the West Coast, but Mountain Time Zone this week with the Broncos Chargers. A little bit of an under the radar matchup. Haven't heard a lot of people previewing it yet in the NFL talking heads, but this is a big game.
Yes, but yeah, it absolutely is a big game, and I think it'll probably pick up. You know, Peyton and Harbaugh are two of the big names in this league. Let alone the Denver Broncos are definitely a premier franchise in the NFL. And you're talking about a team is part of it because the Chiefs are 5-0. It's like, okay, whoever wins is still two games behind. That might be part of it. The Chiefs have made the West kind of boring, but the Chiefs don't look infallible right now. And the winner of this game is looking really good for, a playoff spot coming up already. They're in, I'm going to say, the driver's seat, but yeah, whoever wins this game is absolutely thinking playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like the NFL talking heads of the AFC, they talk about the same teams every week. Now, granted, they must be driving ratings, but it's Chiefs, of course. Oh, what's the Chiefs offense? Why are they bad? You got Houston Texans. Everybody loves CJ Stroud. He's playing unbelievable football, Scott. Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Bills. Rinse, wash, repeat. Everybody else, Miami's kind of fun to watch just because of the chaos there. But Denver is kind of in that middle right now where they're not a train wreck, so people are talking about them, but they're also not dominating teams totally. But we're starting to get some respect on the defense. There's a little bit of Bo Nix stuff here and there, but Denver seems to still be not trusted, which rightfully so, right? There are a lot of questions. The offense hasn't been very good. Five game sample size is not a lot. They have that Tampa Bay game. The further we get away from it, looks more like that was a hell of a statement game, but is it an outlier? Is that, or like Dallas versus Denver 3 years ago now, or is that the norm? So we'll see what happens here with Denver going forward, of course. We're going to talk today about, unfortunately, something that's starting to ramp up in Broncos country, something that they avoided last year almost completely, but this year now starting to really add up. Injuries on the offensive line. We've had four contributors on the offensive line get injured and have missed time / will miss time, and really adding up at the offensive tackle spot, unfortunately for Denver. So we'll get into that. How can Denver kind of mitigate the loss of the offensive line talent going up against, everybody's surprised about Denver's defense, but at least they're talking about it. Looking at the numbers for the Chargers defense, they are just as good statistically as Denver has been this season. Now, granted, with a caveat, who they played, blah, blah, blah. But two common opponents with Denver, and they are neck and neck with Denver in terms of the efficiency. God, that's crazy, Scott. They have the exact same EPA per play so far this season at -0.185. So maybe nobody's talking about this game too, because it's going to be the first one to 10 points wins, and that doesn't really move a lot of people unless you're a degenerate Iowa Hawkeye Big Ten fan like myself.
Well, I don't mind, an old school SEC guy here. I don't mind a good pitching battle.
Yeah.
There's a difference between good defenses and bad offenses. Yeah. Watching penalty after penalty and sideways throwing, that makes me well, I'd say bang my head against the wall, but you know, I don't bother anymore. I just turn the channel. But watching, you know, I remember that it was that LSU Alabama national championship game, and it was super low scoring. And my West Coast people are saying, oh, you know, we're making fun of it like this. There was something like 42 players ended up getting drafted that were on the field that night. I mean, it was, that was defense, you know, that was defense flying around. Again, we've talked about it before. Who are these Chargers? We got a pretty good idea who the Denver Broncos are right now, how they're going to try and win games. They're going to try and be uber safe with the ball, take advantage of field position, hit a big play now and then, run the ball when they can, and rely on their defense. It's worked really well so far. The Chargers, dude, you know, they've, again, you mentioned they played. Okay, they play the Raiders. The Raiders are a train wreck. We know that. The Panthers are even worse. The Panthers are absolutely a train wreck.
And it was
Bryce Young. The Steelers can't play any offense, and the Chiefs just, they just go beat you.
Yeah. And to add to that, the Chiefs lost their only really serviceable pass catching weapon so far this season, five offensive snaps in. So they were definitely spinning on that one. Cause when you have, when the offense, let's be real, what the Chiefs have done this year, the entirety of the offense, pass offense ran through Rashee Rice, and then you lose him for a game. Travis Kelce looks, I don't want to say washed, because I mean, all the, there's really no good tight ends this season, but he looks, you know, average. He just looks like another, you know, garden variety kind of guy right now. Maybe they'll unlock him in the playoffs, but he just looks pretty mediocre. And Worthy is like a really good 3-point shooter where you can't like run the entire offense through him, but he's creating space for others. But you got to have the others to take advantage of the space. So yeah, the Chiefs offense is weird. And to add to the Carolina game, Scott, that was Bryce Young's final start too. So it's not Carolina with Andy Dalton just having like a level of competency out there. That was a horrific, this is over, two starts into his second year kind of thing. So Chargers defense is really good right now, but the sample size is small, and we'll see. Granted, Denver is not really a murderer's row offense to go against either right now. Mike Givens coming in, 49-99. My goodness, Mike, coming in. Before the show even starts, giving us the big support. We appreciate you so much coming in, Fuchsia. That's so generous, Mike. We really appreciate you so, so much.
I can't tell you how much it means when you come in, when you hit the enter button and we go in the green room, and you see the conversation that's already going on, and you see something like what Mike has done, and Troy, we're going to get to you as well because Troy's in, but first, it's just, it's humbling. I've said that. It's a word that I've used, and I had somebody – one time, so you make too big a deal about people giving you money. I'm like, you try and do this.
Yeah.
You come up and do what you love doing and have someone pay you directly for it. It's humbling. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yep. And also, I know we have more super chats, but I want to get to David here. I see my comment was taken down. It must be a YouTube StreamYard thing.
I didn't touch anything, David.
Yeah, we haven't done anything. I don't know. I know that, I believe you're in the close to the hurricane path there. David, so thinking of you, but we didn't mess with
it. I look
anything.
On the YouTube side every once in a while, it will say held for review. And in the mornings, we don't have anybody reviewing comments. So it's just it's a software thing. So apologies.
Yeah. Put it back in here. I don't know. But I mean, we.
Yeah. David, I haven't ever seen you say anything that was worthy of a delete.
No, absolutely not. If anything, amplify it. Appreciate you, David, coming in. We got Troy coming in $9.99. Thank you so much, Troy. It was really great to see you again at the meet and greet this year, and your son as well. So, man, how things have changed since that 0-2 start. Vibes. It's really, Scott, I mean, just a sidebar before we get to Troy here. That's one reason I say it's hard in the moment not to get this way, but try not to get too high or too low because it is such a week-to-week league. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, Denver right now, we're going to the playoffs. Sean Payton, heck yeah. We're 10 days away from, oh man, is Bo Nix a bust? The defense was fake, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just, it's the roller coaster, right? It's one reason it's like, okay, breathe, step back. What does the overall sample say as it gets bigger? We can look at the trends, but week to week league, so much. So, I mean, heck, the Saints 2 weeks in, you know, we're making jokes World because players. New Orleans hasn't had a murder for the first time in 20 years in like a 2 week span. Clint Kubiak saved the city, right? Something crazy here. I'll give him the key to the city, future head coach. Now they look, you know, kind of circling the drain a little bit. It is so week to week. So we'll see what happens. Denver's on a 3-game streak, but a lot of football to go. Not too high, not too low, but always getting me high. Troy says, hey guys, so much roster flux yesterday. Can you break down what happened and what it likely means for Sunday? Also, are we, when our players coming off IR, have a great show. I think McGlinchey is not due until after this, after this week's game against the Chargers. I think it's 4 weeks on the IR, but he suffered an MCL sprain. So, I mean, is he going to be available for a road trip quick turnaround week in New Orleans? I don't have the medical information. Maybe we'll get some information from Sean or anything this week, but I would say not probable based on the injury. I mean, it's luckily not season ending. Palchetsky, with everything that happened, I would be pretty shocked if we didn't see him end up on IR before the game Sunday. And I have not heard much of anything from Wattenberg. So again, we're going to get some injury reports coming out today. I think that, yeah, Palchetsky, I think, is going to miss time. McGlinchey is probably still two games away, I would assume. And Wattenberg's not been great, but I mean, he beat out Forsyth, who was also not great. So with a rookie quarterback, you don't want to mess with that chemistry too much, even though the snap exchange last week, we had a botch. But we'll see what happens with the IR.
Yeah, and Garrett Bowles has been banged up a little bit too. Did you mention, yep, Bowles?
He came back in, so I was assuming that.
Okay, I couldn't remember for sure. Yeah. But again, talking about, you don't expect the team to go a full year with the offensive line staying healthy for the full season, but you also don't expect to start losing everybody either. So yeah, they signed a couple of guys that have some experience. The Cam Fleming's probably the one. Cam Fleming's done a good job when he's been with the Denver Broncos, and that's all you need right now. You just need competency. That's a word we use a lot on here. You know, Chad's like, we're going to redo our intros and exits. And Chad's like, well, what are some of your catchphrases? I'm like, show me the data. What are some of the things I say all the time? There's a lot of them. But competency.
With a small enough sample size, I can prove anything.
That's one. Yeah, that's the one I got. Cherry picking stats. That's always a favorite. But Fleming's done a good job here. And the thing is, you're not beating people because of your offense. So a little bit of a drop off from 26 to 28 in your numbers because your offensive line takes a little bit. That's okay. Take care of the ball, you know, and Sean Payton, again, uber conservative through the first several weeks of Bo Nix's tenure, where it's, I don't want him getting sacked and I don't want him turning the ball over. Now he's still throwing some interceptions here and there. But so much of the side-to-side quick pass, it's the ball. Bo Nix, Nick, one of the reasons his sacks are so low is because he's been playing hot potato. Yep. You know, as soon as he gets the ball in his hand, it's gone. Well, that's not necessarily avoiding sacks. That's making sure you don't get sacked. First read, gone.
It's schematically avoiding sacks.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not on the court. Sean Payton is making sure that he's not putting his quarterback in danger. And frankly, Bo Nix is executing that plan.
I was going to say, it is part of his quarterback. That's where we're trying to go. And it's still happening.
Yeah. Bo Nix is executing that plan, but he's playing hot potato with the ball. Long ramble here is, you're not winning games with offense right now anyway. So a couple substitutes in and out of there, as long as the disasters don't happen, this defense is going to keep you in every single game right now, the way they're playing.
I do agree with you that the overall product, I mean, Denver right now, I have the data here. EPA per play overall, they're 26th in the league. You know, you can say toss out the Jets game. They're still going to end up being one of the bottom 10, 8 to 10 offenses in the NFL so far, tossing out the Jets game. And the offensive line has been the only thing on the offense, in my opinion, Scott, that's been average to above average. I mean, we did the grades last week. We gave the offensive line, what, a C+, B minus. I think the run game 2 weeks now in a row, they've started to found a little life there. And a lot of their advanced stats would say the offensive line is the only thing that's really a positive on the offense right now. So taking that away, even to average to below average, let's say you get down there to paired at right tackle now, Forsyth at center, Bowles might be nursing something there. I mean, that's a concern, especially because you're coming up against two of the better statistical defenses in football through the first 4 to 5 games of the season. Now, granted, is that because who they played as well? Again, you know, that's definitely something. But the Saints have been good until they played the Chiefs last week. But they've been average against the run, but one of the top, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're sixth in pass EPA so far this season, sixth or seventh. And yeah, then the Chargers have the number one rush EPA per play defensively in the entire NFL. So, I mean, it's the offense isn't doing a lot right now, but if the offensive line goes from above average to a D, it might be even worse. And you talk about avoiding mistakes. You might start seeing the mistakes add up if the offensive line is getting whipped, which, I mean, we'll see.
David says, but Scott, we did beat them with our offense. This is where perception is not reality on this. And scoreboard doesn't necessarily, if I'm going through this stat chart here real quick, let me read you Raiders versus Broncos in offensive categories. The Raiders had more first downs. They had more total plays. They had more total yards. They outrushed you. They outpassed you in passing yardage. They had more time of possession. You know what they also had? 3 turnovers to 0. You're not winning games because of your offense. You're not losing them, though, because of your offense. And that's what you can do when your defense is playing top three in the league.
Yeah.
Without that Pat Surtain pick six, your defense is winning games right now. Your offense is not losing them. That's okay. That's not an insult. That's okay.
Yeah.
Zach's hitting on a bunch of mine already. Big and fast always plays. You know, I the body type. Yeah, big and fast. That's what you want to go with. Go with that guy if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Another point about the Broncos offense, one of the huge indicators, the offense did do well. I would be shocked, Scott. I wish there was a database that I didn't have to pay unbelievable money for to have access to, but I'd be very curious the average starting field position game by game and with what Denver did with turnovers in this game and the punt returns, they had to have.
Riley Dixon has been awesome.
Right. Yeah. The punting themselves.
He is laying. I don't know who the best short game guy is in golf.
Yeah.
But his sand wedge is spectacular right now.
He's having a hell of a season. Mims had his best game as well. You had multiple turnovers besides the pick six that set you up with good field position. And Denver, after those first three drives, it was like 3 and out from the Raiders. So you were just constantly on the plus side of the field. So if Denver didn't put up points offensively, it'd have been negative. And another area, Scott, where the Raiders out-executed Denver offensively was third down. I mean, Denver was putrid.
That was the other one I forgot. They were 7 for 15 on third downs versus 3 for 12.
Yeah.
Every single offensive stat favored the Raiders, and they got their asses beat.
Besides red zone.
Turnovers. Red zone was, you know, besides scoring and turnovers. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Denver, to be fair, you know, when they got down there, they scored touchdowns. And in a game in the NFL, in college, maybe that doesn't matter as much if you're overwhelmingly talented. In the NFL, if you're keeping them to get field goals and you're scoring touchdowns when you're in the red zone or goal to go, that's huge. So that was one area that was really excited to see from Denver. Some good playmaking. And I think Nix's best throw of the day was that touchdown to Reynolds. So, you know, there is positives there. But the Raiders, I mean, Denver's, as you said, they've been doing enough to not lose games. That said, if the offensive line takes a step back, playing better defensive fronts, you're in third and long more often, you're not flipping the field as much, and you're in more risky positions throwing the football if you're behind the sticks. So it's worth mentioning. I think that, again, you mentioned Denver has been losing the game offensively. I would even say that in the Tampa Bay game, they went out there and they were doing enough positively to win the game, especially early on. We'll see how it changes now with the Chargers coming up. We got Ian coming in, the EE, Ian, Levin, $5, says, I'm excited for the Battle of the Ducks this weekend. Bo knows, Knicks for six, and Bo leave. Yeah, who's the – oh, yeah, Justin Herbert as well.
Yeah, I was like, who's Oregon playing? I'm like, wait, Justin Herbert. Is Justin healthy? Is the time off? I don't know what his injury was.
It's too early. We don't have banged up. I'm sure he'll be listed still with the ankle. Okay. God, I don't know if you've watched any Chargers games this year. He has to probably have the highest adjusted like EPA because he's had some throws to guys that are just like unbelievable S tier plays and like in crazy windows and like drop it. It's like, oh my God, it would have to just, I mean, at least you have the quarterback play, right? That's the hardest thing to find. But he's still playing some high football, but not getting it done on the weapons. I'm still thankful. I know Joe Alt. We'll see if he's healthy. We'll see if Rashawn Slater's playing too. Those two bookend first round lottery picks for the Chargers, but I am consistently thankful that they did not end up taking Malik Nabers there at five, because he's already one of the top 10 wide receivers in football for my money. He's unbelievable. Jawalt can be great too, but a superstar wide receiver is more impactful than a superstar tackle in my book. And Neighbors looks like a freaking superstar in my opinion. I don't know if we agree there, Scott. We've had that debate many a time.
That one's debatable.
Yeah.
Again, the money used to be, again, 20 years ago, the second highest paid guy in the league was the left tackle behind quarterbacks. Probably yeah. changed a little bit since then. And frankly, rules have changed a little bit since then. You know, you're not allowed to cover or hit guys anymore. So therefore, wide receivers are open more. I'm not allowed to hit the quarterback anymore. So what do I need to protect him with offensive linemen for?
And with how teams have changed.
Some of the roughing the passers. I saw one again this week. I'm like, it wasn't quite Grady Jarrett on Tom Brady bad, but there was one that was making the rounds on X that was pretty bad this week.
Yeah.
But thank you, Ian. WTH, I saw this. I saw you put this in twice. I actually had it starred because we like talking draft, frankly. But he says, good morning, Nick and Scott and all of Broncos country. That's all y'all. Welcome in, everybody. So should the Broncos draft offensive line with its first pick? How is the tackle class looking? Offensive line is absolutely a priority. Garrett Bowles is a free agent. If Garrett Bowles is gone, it becomes your biggest priority. Right now, for today, for this moment, if your offensive line is healthy, I still think the number one priority to make this team better, if I'm looking at the trade deadline, is a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But if I lose a left tackle next year, and I don't have the answer, whether we've talked about this, Nick, if it's McGlinchey and or Palcheski going in and they're your tackles, okay, then I've got that solved. But if I don't have the answer, this goes back to the conversation, Nick, which would you rather have, a superstar left tackle or a superstar wide receiver? I want my left tackle for my rookie quarterback first before I would go receiver if I have an opening at left tackle.
It depends on the talent available.
But I'm just saying, in a vacuum, I want the left tackle spot secured first before the wide receiver spot if everything is equal for my second year quarterback.
If I have a chance at a top 10 game breaker on offense, I'll probably take that over the left tackle. Honestly, and then that's, again, if you are terrible at tackle, it can sink the entire offense more than if you're terrible at wide receiver. I see guys like Neighbors, Jamar Chase, Justin, like offensive defining weapons.
Yeah, but now, the thing is you can name 15 of those guys. How many really top tackles can you do? I can't do the same thing. I can, as a fairly casual rest of the NFL fan who doesn't play fantasy football, I can whip off the names of 20 really good receivers. I can't do the same at tackle.
But I think it has a lot to do with, well, fantasy football, playmaking, but also just the impact in general. I mean, we talk about it. The top guys are there. This is an off-season conversation. We always do this. The top guys are there, but like we went through with the, we were texting yesterday, just like this team needs weaponry. This team needs weaponry. I mean, half the AFC needs more weapons right now. So half
and if your quarterback's on his ass, it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah. Yep. So again, take what's available for you. To the second part of this question, how's the tackle class looking? I've started to do work on this, Scott. I got to say, maybe it's the coming off of last year's tackle class, which was pretty good, but I am plugging my nose watching the tackles so far this season. I think almost every single one of the top guys that I've seen, I think is probably better as a guard and has some fatal flaws. I think it's going to be, you're going to have some options there. Maybe they get elevated because it's not a great first round this season. You're going to have some options mid first to mid second. But as far as your, you know, no doubt first round grade kind of guys, I don't think Banks is overly sticky. I don't think he's got a great.
You mentioned these names, and I would imagine it goes over the heads of 90% of the people that are listening to the show, because I don't know who you're talking about when you start ripping off names of receivers.
Yeah, these are offensive tackles, Scott.
Okay, and even less with the offensive tackles. Oh yeah, yeah, I mean, Gerard Banks at Oregon State. Yeah, never heard of him.
No. So you got Kelvin Banks at Texas, Will Campbell at LSU. Those are considered the top guys, and some mock drafts are getting in the top 10. If they're going in the top 10, something's wrong with this class, I will say. That's a big negative, because I am not a big fan. We'll see if other guy steps up. Left tackle at Ohio State, Josh Simmons, has been interesting. I cannot pronounce the last name, but Minnesota has a tackle who could go in the first round. And then You have a the right tackle at LSU and the right tackle at Texas are also interesting. So sorry, Scott, we got a question for it. I did want to get into it a little bit. If we got Ian also saying smash that like button. Dominique's in the house. Good morning, Nick and Scott on Broncos Country. Great to see
you, Michael. Thank you for the stars. And Nick, the question is how's the tackle class looking? Strong or not? Then move on.
Not strong. Nope. We got to get
there. You go. Now move on. Stop.
It doesn't look good.
Doesn't look like a great offensive tackle class. Mute him.
Guard class, though. Maybe good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a defensive class. It's a defensive class. And running backs. God, I mean, I know you're not a college guy, but have you seen what Ashton Gentry's doing?
From Boise State, I have.
Unbelievable. I mean, running backs, I'm not a top 10 guy, but in this class, this probably should happen. Troy Morris.
A big enough star to even hit my radar.
Yeah, he's on pace to break Barry Sanders' record, and it's just like it's unbelievable. Troy Morris comes in and says,
"Barry Sanders." I'll tell you that right now.
No,
I mean, I watch his highlights and say he ain't Barry Sanders.
No, I don't know who he is. Maybe he's just Ashton Gentry. Bo Nix stats trend: 2 interceptions, 0 touchdowns. First 2 games, 3rd game, no interceptions or touchdowns. 4th game, 0-1. Last game, 0-2. The trend is chart is pretty good. All their stats aside, I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, biggest thing for me is his turnover worthy plays have dropped a lot. I mean, interceptions or not, that's kind of more the result versus the process. And the process, the turnover worthy plays, the ones where he's throwing downfield and it's like very much in harm's way, I feel like in the last 3 games have dropped compared to the first 2. So we'll see if that trend continues. Because again, the sample size is still pretty small. But that's a big positive for sure. Because before, anytime it was going past 5 air yards, 10 air yards, it felt like the defense had a real chance to take it away. And that hasn't really been the case the last 3 weeks.
The patience are there. You know, we say trust the process. Well, that goes with the quarterbacks too. Young quarterbacks, especially, you don't always have to make the killer throw.
Yeah.
And as bad as the Broncos offense was in the first half of the game, they were in the game. And then they're like a constrictor where you squeeze them and you let that team kind of implode. And then shots open up. Things start opening up. The running game starts opening up. Javonte Williams starts running like a man possessed and punishing people. Starts opening things up. Be patient. Be patient, Bo. And we've seen that. Absolutely improvement from, which, hey, who'd have thunk it? Improvement from week 1 to week 5.
Yeah. I think a lot of the
stars, Troy. Big stars over on Facebook. Thank you, sir.
Heck yeah, Troy. We appreciate that so much. I think the big one has been the rushing offense has taken up. Before they were like bottom 3. The first 2 weeks, they were bottom 3 in the NFL and rushing.
It's efficiency. Northern man fronts.
Yeah.
And even your passing plays are behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, it was maddening to watch.
And then you have no chance for explosives. I mean, people would think
especially against Pittsburgh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You don't want to fight the Steelers in a phone booth. No. Get them out in the open.
You have to do that. But also I think empty makes it so that way they know that the ball has to come out quick so they can just sit on the routes. I think you do need at least have a little bit of like a running back or a tight end.
I'm not going for the oop-de-oop, but even the splits were so tight. Even when they were in 11 personnel, the guys are inside the hash marks.
Yeah.
You know, open things up a little bit. And then, you know, then the first big drive they had in that game, that was 4 wide. I don't ever like empty, you know, unless you got Kyler Murray or Michael Vick back there. I don't ever like empty. As good as Bo Nix is a good runner, I don't want him to be the only running threat back there.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you.
Lamar Jackson, I'm okay. You want to go empty? Okay.
Yeah.
Bo's a good runner. He's not elite.
Yeah. Yep. It can't be it can be a addition to the offense, but it can't be the offense. Coach Chris coming in. I've spent my weeks watching the Raiders podcast. The meltdown is epic. I'll take the win regardless of the stats. My heart goes out to all those affected by Hurricane Helene and now Milton. Be safe out there. Love you guys. Yeah, we're getting pounded right now. I know like FEMA's spread out as well. Luckily they have, because of forecasting and everything, we know it's coming. So people have a chance to get out of there and things can be set up. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of like all the power line cars with the cart, I don't know what those are called, but there's just lined up waiting, ready to get in there.
I think of a sky bucket. I know that's not right. Ladder, they're ladder. I don't remember what they're called. They're ladder buckets or something. I can't remember what they're called either.
Well, God bless, you know, the tree crews and everybody waiting. I mean, it's horrific that this is happening, but also being a time where we know it's coming and we can like prepare for immediate response. But for the people who can't leave due to financial reasons, people who are incarcerated, People who are hospitalized, the essential workers that can't leave. I mean, really thinking of them. It's crazy. Like Tampa Bay's main hospital, Scott, is on like a little island at sea level out there with this. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, that might need to be changed. I don't know what you can do out there, but yeah, it's going to be horrific. The infrastructure, the damage is going to be unbelievably costly. We need Congress and people to step up and be ready to help. But yeah, Chris, thank you for the good wishes here. Yeah, it is crazy to watch it happening, and we're just all hoping for the best. So
yeah, appreciate you, Coach Chris, for stepping in. I got a lot of family and friends down in that area, and we checked in with all of them. Hey, do you need to come up? What are you doing? You okay? And everybody's kind of hunkering down and hoping for the best right now. So appreciate you, Chris, coming in and helping us out as usual. Big friend of the show.
Yeah, we got Jermaine coming in. Also, trade deadline. Denver fans are thinking about trading. Trade deadline got pushed back a week this year, I believe, because of the election. So is Denver? I think Denver right now is probably looking around the league and interested in maybe adding a running back, a tight end, a wide receiver. That's certainly possible. I think Denver traded for a tight end in season. They got Vernon Davis one of those seasons out there in Denver. But yeah, I think they're looking. These next 2 weeks are going to be highly impactful. If you go 3-3, you probably want those to keep those picks. If you're sitting there 5-2 and you have a chance to add a difference maker at any of those spots, that'd be great. But yeah, David Njoku, he'd be an interesting one. He's had some really good seasons out there in Cleveland. I don't think what the offense they're running right now is the best for him. He's not a like dominant inline guy, but he's like good enough there that he can play Y and then have some athleticism and dynamism down the field and after the catch. Or a wide receiver there. I mean, Denver right now is really missing a quick game separator. And, you know, Jerry Jeudy, they got rid of him. He's, you know, it's hard to evaluate him in Cleveland. But like, maybe we do a swap. Maybe Amari Cooper comes for a 5th round pick. The thing that's hard with this is that we talked about it a second ago. Almost every freaking team in the AFC that are in the same position as Denver of like, hey, we might be feisty, also needs a weapon. Baltimore could use an X. Pittsburgh, desperate for a pass catcher. The Chiefs need a pass catcher terribly.
Devontae Adams is out there putting up Edgar Allan Poe Raven pictures.
They should make that happen. I don't know, but it feels like the Jets might do something crazy there just to pacify Rodgers, though.
You mentioned real quick, Jermaine. I'm with Nick. I think wide receiver, pass catcher. We've said it all along. I think what this team needs the most is another offensive weapon or two, frankly. Mm-hmm. Yep. But Nick. Couple of players that we have followed closely at the wide receiver, which two free agent contracts at the receivers / trade, which two contracts did we raise our eyebrows at the most this offseason for at the receiver position?
Calvin Ridley.
And?
Darnell Mooney.
How about Jerry Jeudy?
Oh, yeah, Jeudy is.
You know, Jerry Judy's extension was, you know, 20-something million dollars also. The combined record for those two teams right now is 2-7. When not you do good. Stupid stuff with your money, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Who's giving Jerry Jeudy $20 million? And who the hell's giving Calvin Ridley $25 million? Jesus Christ, fellas.
Yeah.
Do you just enjoy pissing your money down the drain?
I mean, maybe a little bit. But yeah, no, then we'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks.
$50 million a year people say, oh, you know, congratulations on your team. I'm like, dude, I got one team right now. And it's Chelsea and then my kids. That's it. That's the kind of stuff that pisses me off.
That said, I never feel bad about millionaires, billionaires wasting money, especially for the players. I mean, it's stupid. I'm glad
they're going to spend it anyway. Think of the guys that didn't get that money that are working their asses off that are getting cut because, you know, we can save $2.5 million on this guy that's working his ass off, who's made it from the practice squad, because I got to give Jerry Jeudy his 25 and I can't cut him because I guaranteed it. Morons.
That's our money.
Fired up is waste and stupidity. That's why I'm such a fan of politics.
Kevin, what do you guys think the best possible ceiling for Bo is? Alex Smith? Is that too far? I mean, if you're talking best possible ceiling, I think Alex Smith might even be undercutting it, right? Because out of all the probabilities, he could end up being the greatest of all time still, right? But probability-wise, best realistic ceiling, the ones that we said after he was drafted, and I went back and looked at the film and tried to just visualize it, and also seeing the athleticism be better than I thought it would be. Alex Smith is one that's come to mind a lot for me Also, Dak Prescott pre-injury. Dak was a spread quarterback out there at Mississippi State. Never had an overwhelming arm, but very smart, good quick game, and a compact athlete who's a plus as a runner, not necessarily a weapon. That athleticism early on, you know, helped to do a bunch of different stuff for Dallas. And now he's older. He's more cerebral. He's one of the best quick game quarterbacks in the NFL. Doesn't have the same twitch and explosiveness as a runner, but that's what you kind of want. As the athleticism declines, you want the intelligence, anticipation, pocket ability to improve. So I think Dak and Alex Smith are two interesting, viable comparisons for a realistic ceiling. And I mean, those are two fantastic quarterbacks. So like people will be like, oh, that's not good enough. Those are guys who would be getting paid. Are getting paid unbelievable money, would be, and have you a chance if you have the right stuff around them to be a Super Bowl contender. So that's not an insult in any way, in my opinion.
The guy right now that I've always thought of that's gets as much credit, you know, praise as anybody in the league is Joe Burrow. You know, Joe Burrow, what I never thought of as being ultra toolsy, but just a great game manager point guard who's always had good weapons around him and does a good job of getting them the ball.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, okay, I got Joe Burrow here, former number one overall, I'd be pretty happy with that. Hugh Jelly Fant says Judy is doing okay in Cleveland. Yes, he is. He's doing okay. 200 yards with a quarterback that doesn't want to be there. I don't want okay for $25 million. I expect better than okay for $25 million. So yes, he is doing okay. You know what else another phrase for okay is? Meh. It's $25 million. I don't want, meh. He's doing okay. He's doing okay in Cleveland. He's doing okay. Yeah. I got an attitude problem in Cleveland, and I'm going to bring in Jerry Jeudy to help solve it. Nice.
Yeah.
Christopher RB is back. Good to see you. Hawks fan here. Real quick, Nick. Can we run on Washington this week? Beat the Chargers. Can you run on Iowa Hawks? See, I'm so out of this. I'm like, all right. Were the Seahawks playing the Commanders? That ought to be a good matchup.
No. This he's talking Iowa here because the Washington Huskies.
You're a Broncos guy.
Yeah. The Washington Huskies head off to Iowa this week. There's been very few teams that have won in college football this season, traveling two-plus time zones away. Now, granted, two of them happened last week, but they traveled from Central or East time zone out to the Pacific. So a Pacific team, Pacific time zone team going out to the Midwest. I'm expecting Iowa to have a huge advantage there. Washington coming off an emotional game. And I will say there's probably I can't think of many head coaches in college football that like week to week keep things even than Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. It's just he's the epitome of not too high, not too low. Iowa got shellacked by Ohio State last week. They look like a freaking NFL team. One of the best teams money can buy. We'll see how they do against Oregon this week. But Washington having to play a 9 a.m. Pacific time game, a huge road trip after Iowa got beat last week. I think Iowa's going to be able to run the football, and they're going to be ticked off.
Is that a conference game now?
What was that?
Is that a conference game now?
It is. Yeah, Big Ten, baby.
I think I was like, I don't even know who won the game. It didn't start till 11 o'clock my time was Cal and Miami. I'm like,
ACC.
I was like, why is Cal playing Miami when they already made a road trip to Auburn? Oh, yeah, that's a conference game now. I forgot.
Yep, ACC, baby. Crazy. I think Iowa.
It's another professional league, and they're going to come head-to-head against the NFL eventually, and it's going to be a problem.
I mean, yeah.
They're in instead of that unholy coalition between the NCAA and the NFL, they're going to be in competition. You wait until one of these NCAA owners says, but we tanked the last six of the games so we could get this guy, and now he doesn't want to come to the pros. He wants to stay in college. You're in competition for players now, brother.
Much more money in the NFL. And I think guys will probably come in a little bit more developed, hopefully. This is the end of the last COVID extra eligibility season, so this is an old draft class, and a lot of
I think it's good for the game, honestly.
I do, too.
I just wonder, it's like, are you still going to have the same passion for the college game, the college teams? Is that going to change at all? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, I look at the different tiers of football, of international football, and the second level teams, they still pack their stadiums because there's passion. The passion's there.
Yep. It's college football is different. It's so localized. I mean, even though the conferences aren't exactly the same, the regionality for support is still there. Yeah, I think Iowa should beat the Huskies this week. Also, the Huskies played a very emotional, physical game against Michigan late last Saturday. So now they got to travel across. I don't know. I think Iowa will get the dub. If they don't, this season could end up with 7-5 and disappointing. But we'll see. Iowa's kind of like the Broncos. The offense is so inconsistent that every single game is going to be a close one. They play like a professional team. And I don't mean that as a compliment for the Iowa Hawkeyes, where the talent disparity should be a little different. But we'll see. It's long season. Getting to it again, the offensive line, Scott, we've had so many injuries here. McGlinchey, I don't think he'll be back probably until the Panthers game because of the short turnaround. I'd be shocked if we didn't get an announcement today that Palchetsky is going to the IR. You have Wattenberg, who's not been great. Center's a position, granted, it's first start there. Maybe you just willing to give him another year, but center's a position that so far could be upgraded this offseason. Maybe you want to spend a little of that extra cash there at center. And then also you lost Quinn Bailey before the season, who would have been your first tackle off the bench. So Denver will now be down to probably, we'll see what happens, but Forsyth and Pert at right tackle going against the number one rush defense in the NFL in EPA per play in terms of the Chargers. That said, even if it is busting your head against the wall for four quarters, I think Denver absolutely cannot abandon the run. It might not be efficient. It's definitely not been super explosive this season, the rush game, but you got to protect your offensive line and let them be the aggressors rather than be reactionary against Bosa and Mack. Limit the drop back pass game with Bo Nix if possible, so he's not taking hits, getting concerned. And I said this last night too. Now that Crum, we saw Crum actually make an appearance, who was horrible in preseason. But what he is, Scott, is a damn good run blocker. He can get guys and move them.
He's
see six offensive linemen. Want to see the heavy personnel.
Yeah, he's a unit for sure. You know, and when we talk about, you know, athletically, I remember him coming through. I'm like, okay, yeah, because people were asking about him. Like, yeah, I think he's worth a draft pick just based on his measurables, for God's sakes. There's very few human beings that move like that man. I'm talking offensive lineman. You said Lucas Kroll. Who's a big offensive lineman I'm thinking of?
I was talking Frank Crum.
Yeah, I'm thinking Crum. Okay, yeah. We're on the same page here. When we talk about, okay, it sounds like we're going from second to third to fourth string on those type of things, but it's not a linear line. Like the first is ranked a 10, the second string's an 8, the third string's a 6, the fourth string's a 4. Oh no, now I have to plug in a 4 for my 10. It's really not like that. There's an exponential curve when it drops off, and the drop off from third to fourth string should be about minuscule, and that's what you're hoping for. I shouldn't see much of a drop off when I go from my second string tackle to my third string tackle. You hope. Again, it's there does the Nick, I can see you want to say, but there does become a breaking point where they're just not good enough.
I am with you. The other thing here is that we have hindsight, and Palchetsky was at worst competent at right tackle. You know, a lot of questions coming in, but like he handled himself pretty well in the three games that he was out there. Granted, he didn't go against the simulated pressures. And God, what's the other terminology that they use? I can't remember. Sorry, Scott, the fake blitzes out there, and also TJ Watt. So his, like Tampa Bay, not a very good defense, actually, we're seeing. The Jets have a good defense, but they're not, like, unbelievable at edge. It's really more cornerback in the interior where they have their talent. And then the Raiders, I mean, Crosby beat Palchetsky fine last week and Parrott. So
he beats a lot of guys. That's oh, well, Max Crosby ate his lunch. Yeah, that doesn't mean he's a bad player.
Yeah. That's not shocking on that one, but –
like I never won a championship. Yeah, he played with the year of Michael Jordan's 8 years in the league, and there were only two championships up for grabs, and Olajuwon got them both. Yep. Doesn't mean he can't play.
Yep, but my thoughts on the offensive line, Scott, protect them by running the football, even though it's matchup-wise not great for Denver with how good the Chargers have been. We'll see if that holds. We already talked about their schedule and what that looks like. They have not played many dynamic teams, although Pittsburgh and the Chiefs have run the ball fine. But I think I would use heavy personnel a little bit more, maybe even some of the unbalanced looks too. I've absolutely loved it when they have like a tight end at the left tackle spot and then Bulls at the tight end Y spot on the right side, you know, match them up. Just be a little bit creative. Get those run looks going out there. Maybe use some quarterback power as well and just be the aggressors up front. Now, that only works if your defense and special teams are also playing good ball. But this is not a game where if you're dropping back 40 plus times, you are winning because Bo Nix is going to get hit. And we'll see if Bosa plays. Khalil Mack a little older, but when those guys play, they're still good. So run the football. You gotta stay balanced.
The other thing, real quick, I know we're gonna get out of here quickly, and thank you, Michael, for closing us out here before we get going. This is a great show today, Nick and Scott on Broncos for Breakfast. It's a little bit of a misnomer to say dropping back. He's not, when he's throwing the ball 40 times, he's not dropping back 40 times. Again, he's playing hot potato 30 of those. He may only drop back to pass and read 10 times in the whole game. That said, I agree with you 100%. And you still have to have a little bit more aggression in your offense. We saw it right away against Tampa Bay and the difference it makes. One of the big narratives that I've seen a lot this week was, you know, can Peyton take the cuffs off, you know, take the training wheels off of Bo Nix now and let's throw down the field. I think we've already seen that. And that the trust factor in Bo Nix to not put the ball in harm's way as much, just don't lose it. The offense is going to keep you in the game. So run the ball. We'll play action, some bootlegs, some RPOs, but you do have to get vertical every so often, or I don't care who you're playing. They're just going to smother you if you're playing behind the line of scrimmage the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, God bless everybody who came in today, helped us out. Mike Gibbons, big time. Troy Boer, Ian, relatively new name, but you've been consistent here this week. We appreciate that. Coach Chris, of course, Michael Ronquillo a few times, Troy Morris, Christopher RB, a fellow Iowa / Denver Bronco fan. So you got to be mad with the lack of offense combined with good defense and special teams. But hey, at least we're relevant, right? We're winning some football games. So appreciate everyone coming in. Thank you so much. Make sure you're following Scott and I on Twitter. Scott is at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle over there on Twitter/X. Make sure you're following us at Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. As that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. And also, if you guys haven't done so, you listen after the fact or whatever, go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, find our show, and leave us a 5-star podcast and tell us what you think. I mean, we go check those as well. So appreciate everyone coming in. If you're out there in the path impacted by the upcoming Hurricane Milton, thoughts and prayers and everything with you, man. Godspeed. It is going to be a rough one the next 36 hours, 48 hours. And I mean, more than that, because the fallout from it. But any final thoughts, Scott? We have to give a final score prediction real quick because we got to go.
Oh, with this one, I don't know what to expect from LA. And you know, the injuries, I think it's going to be a close, low scoring game. And I think the Broncos with the home field advantage can lean on their defense and pull out at like a 16-13 type.
Yeah, what scares the absolute heck out of me, Scott, is that Vegas has the Chargers favored by 3. And I just feel like that's not that Denver's great or anything, right? But they've won 3 in a row. They have the home field advantage. Chargers are pretty dinged up. We don't know what to make of them. The -3 for the Chargers is kind of eye-popping. I thought it'd be close to a pick'em game.
It means the money's still going to Jim Harbaugh and the perception of the LA Chargers.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of belief in the neutrals out there that they can continue beating. They've won 3 in a row. What about odds of winning 4? They can continue this run. Because the money, it's not about Vegas. It's not about predictions. That's not what Vegas is about. Vegas is about getting as much money on the Chargers and as much money on the Broncos and getting it perfectly even so they can take the commission. Because ironically, Vegas doesn't want to gamble.
Yeah. Over under 36 and a half, so pretty low.
Where was I? 30? Okay, 30 and then a garbage touchdown. I'd probably go under, but I wouldn't take that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I might flip this by the time we do the write-up, Scott. I'm going to go 20-17 Denver. I think it'll probably be a defense is going to have to play a big impact in this one. But Denver needs to protect the offensive line, protect Nix, and run the ball. Even if it's not working, play small ball. Field position, your punting's been good. Your defense has been good. Lean and trust on those units. One thing that scares me about this game, Chargers have been one of the least penalized teams in football. So that's small ball as well. You cannot, you know, have 3-1 penalty yardage against the Chargers. And with how much you play man coverage, chance for big game-turning penalties is out there. So we'll see. Will be interesting. Thank you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week. Continue to use kindness and compassion. Go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.